Sheila Fraser, who helped us organize these very fruitful meetings. The event was held in honor of our dear friend and colleague, Harvey Goldschmidt, who sadly passed away in February. The theme of the event was IFRS and Global Standards, a Canadian Perspective. We're honored to have Linda Messon, the chair of the Accounting Standards Board, give the opening remarks, after which Hans Hogevorst, the chair of the IASB, presented a keynote speech in which he launched the foundation's mission statement. Both the mission statement and Hans' speech can be accessed from the foundation website. This was followed by a lively panel discussion, ably moderated by our friend Kevin Nye, chair of the Oversight Council. I like to think that Harvey would have been delighted with the event, which attracted a large number of Canadian stakeholders, which reflects the interest that IFRS attracts here in Canada. He would also have been pleased to hear of Canada's commitment to our work and the active and constructive role played by Canada in the development of a single set of high-quality, globally accepted accounting standards. We then have had the executive session and addressed a number of important issues. The trustees considered the consultation being undertaken by the EU Commission in a green paper, Building a Capital Market Union, the CMU, that was issued in February 2015. We focused on the implications for the IFRS Foundation and the IASB of the issue raised in the Green Paper as to whether there was, I quote, value in developing a common EU-level accounting standard, end of quotation, for small and medium-sized entities, SMEs, listed on certain trading venues, multilateral trading facilities. This is a sensitive and important issue. The IASB currently differentiates the financial reporting requirements for entities not by size, but on the basis of whether or not an entity has public accountability. If an entity has public accountability, it should apply full suite of IFRS. If it doesn't, the IFRS for SMEs developed by the IASB may be used where permitted by jurisdictions. The question in the Green Paper raises implications for our current position. The trustees considered whether the Foundation should submit a response to the consultation. They agreed that we should. And the trustees considered a draft of such a response and offered a number of helpful suggestions which will be incorporated into a revised draft. Among other things, the response will specify the Foundation's willingness to cooperate with the European Commission as it considers this issue further. The trustees received an update on the progress of the review of structure and effectiveness of the IFRS Foundation and gave their views on next steps, including a draft of a possible consultation document on the review. The trustees agreed that the review should be set in the context of the Foundation's Strategic Plan 2015-17 that had been agreed at their February 2015 meeting in Zurich, with the four primary strategic goals being as follows. Goal number one, to develop in the public interest a single set of high-quality, understandable, enforceable, and globally accepted financial reporting standards based upon clearly articulated principles as outlined in the Foundation's Constitution. Goal number two, to pursue the goal of global adoption of IFRS. This was in line with the recommendation of the trustees in their strategy review in February 2012. That the Foundation must remain committed to the long-term goal of the global adoption of IFRS as developed by the IASB. Goal number three, to support the consistent application and implementation of IFRS globally. And goal number four, ensuring the continued independence, stability, and accountability of the IFRS Foundation. Trustees gave their suggestions and comments on what should be included in the forthcoming consultation document. They noted that the plan was to discuss a pre-publication draft with the Advisory Council at its meeting in June 2015, and for approval to publish the consultation document to be sought at the London Trustees meeting, also in June 2015. The trustees then were updated on the progress of the review of the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum, ASAF, and considered the recommendations proposed by the staff from the findings of the review. The trustees were reminded that the feedback from ASAF members, other members of the National Accounting Standard Setting Community, and IASB members and staff had overall been very positive, with respondents agreeing with the objectives and scope of ASAF activities as set out in the group's 2013 Terms of Reference and Memorandum of Understanding with the IASB. They agreed a number of enhancements to ASAF in the light of the findings. First, they agreed that the scope of ASAF activities should be expanded to facilitate the technical discussion at ASAF of jurisdictional standard setting issues, not the issues on the IASB's work plan only. We also agreed that the Foundation's objectives in establishing the ASAF should be reiterated in the feedback statement on the review. The trustees agreed with the staff recommendation that consultation with ASAF should not be embedded as a mandatory step in the IASB's Duke process. On membership, the trustees agreed that the current complement of 12 members is appropriate and that the current geographical balance should remain. Rotation of members should remain but be staggered so as to have some stability of membership. The trustees also agreed that the terms of membership should be extended from 2 to 3 years. On next steps, there will be a call for nominations for the next cycle of ASAF members, with the aim of ASAF holding its first meeting with a revised membership in July 2015. The trustees discussed development in the United States. I updated the trustees on recent meetings Yael Almog and I have held with the SEC, the U.S. Treasury, and a number of other U.S. stakeholders, including the AICPA and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. The meetings were good, but with no definitive conclusions. The situation in the U.S. remains a challenging one. We have still to see the details of the SEC's ongoing consideration of the domestic use of IFRS and the so-called fourth alternative proposal, under which we understand that the SEC would permit U.S. companies to voluntarily provide supplementary IFRS disclosures in addition to their U.S. GAAP reporting. The trustees also discussed relations between the IASB and the FASB, and the proposal that the U.S. trustees should have regular meetings with their counterparts at the Financial Accounting Foundation. The continuing shortfall in the U.S. contribution to the funding of the IFRS Foundation remains an issue, and it was raised in the meetings with the SEC. The trustees received a presentation from Kevin Nye, Chair of the Canadian Accounting Standards Oversight Council, and Linda Mason, Chair of the Canadian Accounting Standards Board. On the Canadian perspective of financial reporting issues in general and in IFRS in particular, the presentation gave the trustees an excellent insight into Canada's decision to move to IFRS and the very effective way in which the transition was managed. The trustees were pleased to hear of Canada's continuing commitment to IFRS views. They then received the position with regard, the position with regard to the Foundation's potential to explore commercial opportunities. They received reports from a number of committees. The Human Capital Committee has been updated on the outcome of the annual peer review round, which was completed within the overall guidelines agreed by the trustees. The Audit and Finance Committee, following a review by the committee and its recommendation, the trustees had approved both the US dollar and UK sterling financial statements for 2014 and for the formal signing of the statement to take place on 16th of April. Letters of representation were also approved. The trustees noted that the external auditors had again commented on how smoothly the audit had taken place. Publication of the 2014 annual report will take place shortly. At this meeting, the trustees considered a number of other matters, including further allocations of trustees to membership of trustee committees for 2015, including the appointment of Jim Quigley as chair of the DPOC, and the appointments of Alan Bella to the DPOC and Nominating Committee, and Kurt Chart to the Education and Content Services and Audit and Finance Committees. Agreement on the locations for meetings of the trustees in 2016, which will be held in London, New Delhi, and Sao Paulo. And we also discussed proposal for developing future trustee stakeholder events. And this concludes my report. Do you have any comments or any questions on this? I see